where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here, and I have a scoop for you. Download the Schnucks Rewards app. Trust me, it'll pay off. You shop at Schnucks like normal, earn points on almost everything in the store, and redeem the points for money off. Easy as that. If earning money off your groceries wasn't enough, it also has cool features to make shopping at Schnucks even easier. You can locate items in the store, refill prescriptions, check the weekly ad. It's a grocery game changer. So download Schnucks Rewards from the App Store or Google Play and start saving today.
Do you have somebody in your life you'd like to find? Maybe somebody who owes you money? An old friend from high school or college, or perhaps an estranged family member, or even a family member you've never even met? There are a lot of limited websites that offer to help you, but if you want guaranteed results, call a private investigator. At Gateway Investigations, we offer the following guarantee. If we don't find who you're looking for, there's no charge. For a free consultation, call 238-1367, 238-1367, or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. This year, get your financial freedom back and pay off all those high interest rate credit cards with a cash out refinance today at TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
What does USDA prime beef really mean? You usually won't find USDA prime meat at your supermarket because its limited supply is gobbled up by the finest upscale restaurants. Of all the beef produced in the U.S., less than 2% is certified USDA prime. But at Serpent Sirloin, located eastbound Manchester just west of 270, that's what's for dinner. The USDA prime New York strip ribeye and porterhouse. And Serpent Sirloin is also now hiring servers, hostess, and bartender positions. Call 822-3637 or check them out online, serpentsirloin.com.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Oh, hello there. I'm 70s heartthrob and multi-Emmy award-winning sportscaster Doug Vaughn. Has your life been feeling dull? Well, I'll just get straight to the point. Come into the sharpest place in town and live with a new edge. Scissors, knives, pruners, hedge clippers, lawnmower blades, whatever you need sharpened, the fine professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery can take care of it for you. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives.
We're not talking to you if you're listening named Jack. What you say? We don't want you to hit the road. We want you to stay right where you are because Scott Sherman is in the house, and he already has all the lines filled but one. You can grab that. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Give me a moment to sell you some windows or a window. Maybe it's just one window. Usually it's several because, you know, when builder-grade windows start to go, they all start to go at the same time because all the windows were exposed to the same elements, same weather. And that's where Window World steps in and allows you at an extremely reasonable price to replace those windows with a better window. It's the number one selling replacement window in the United States. That is a fact. If it weren't, they'd be sued for saying it. And it happened relatively quickly. They've only been around 15 years or so. And they've been number one for a while. It's also the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues, and they're also a tremendously charitable company. They've done well. And you know when people say we wanted to give back? It's up to them as to how they want to give back, and they chose St. Jude Children's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, and they've given them over $1 million. And I think that's terrific. So they got a great product, they're good people, and they help keep the show afloat. So for all those reasons, when you contact Window World, and you can at windowworldst.louis.com, please, please remember to tell them you're AM and the PM. Again, windowworldst.louis.com. I can harmonize now.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm.
I didn't mean you any harm. But yeah, that's what they all say. In the house is the one and only Scott Sherman, who is brought to you by Peroni's Pizza. If you've never had Peroni's Pizza, I'm actually sad for you, because it's really good. And so is their toasted ravioli, and so is their mozzarella, and so are their salad, so is everything. And you can sample it all Monday through Friday. Every week, Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., they have an all-you-can-eat buffet at both locations, Florissant and St. Peter's. Peroni's Pizza also has a banquet room at the Florissant location that can accommodate up to 100 people. You can find out more at their website, and I'm going to spell Peroni's because I know how frustrating that is when you go to find a website and you can't spell the name of the place. P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S, PeroniesPizza.com. Give it up, if you would, please, for Scott Sherman.
Frank, thank you.
Scott, how are you?
I'm great. I'm really doing great, and I'm really glad to be here.
Were you able to hear? Were you able to hear Limey's dad?
I met Limey's dad before the show. A very nice gentleman, and I did hear a little bit about your conversation about London and Birmingham.
He's a proper sounding gentleman.
He does not have a fake British accent, unlike his son, who does.
Wow.
Fake British.
Wow.
Oh, I want everyone to know something. He's kidding. He's just kidding.
Highway
he
fired
he's not fake.
It slips sometimes.
Not fake. Not fake when you're 19 years in a place and you live there so long that you talk like they do. You live there so long, you almost start talking Australian.
Mm-hmm.
One more time for the numbers, then we're going to take these calls. 314-821-0590. See, like we're 590. Get it? 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. We will start with Delane. Delane, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Delane. I only know one person named Delane. Could this be that one person?
It is.
Oh. I won't say any more because I don't know what your legal issue is, but Scott, be nice to her. She's a really nice lady.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks, Scott. AM and the PM.
Of course. Thank you.
I know you talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but my family were trying to sell my mom's house. It's in a trust, and she hasn't lived in it for 2 years. We had a realtor come look through it, and she recommended selling it as is, not put any money into it, et cetera, et cetera. My question is, if we sell it by owner as is, where do we get all the paperwork and information to do this? Or what would you recommend?
So in other words, your question is, without a realtor, is that it?
Correct.
How you do this?
Yes.
I'm gonna mention a couple of ways, then Scott will take it from there. I think you could go to any reputable title company. And for a small fee, they'll handle the whole transaction. You can also do it with the help of a realtor that you might know. It's not a sale going through their real estate office, but they can certainly help you with that same title company stuff. And again, for a very small fee. Scott, you can take it.
Great advice. Assuming it's not a marketing issue, you know, you can't be on the MLS unless you have a real estate person. But as far as doing the actual down and dirty transfer of the title, making sure everything is properly done in the contract, you can use a lawyer who would use their own title company. You can use, I suppose, a title company or the suggestion Frank had about someone you know. If you want to FSBO this thing and you have a buyer and you have a price and you want the contract to make sure that all of the encumbrances and all the problems that can come up with title work to make sure that that's done right. I can put you in the direction of somebody that does this all the time. And they are a very good real estate lawyer and never had a problem.
And by the way, Delaney, there's no way, it's not going to cost that much. You're not looking at what you'd be looking at if you had to pay real estate commission.
I have a problem. I have a question on top of that. If she sells it as is, generally the people that buy houses as is are someone that comes in and they rehab it and then they sell it for a profit on them. Would they be able to, I mean, since they do that all the time, maybe they have the wherewithal to go send her in the right direction.
Yeah, they might. Here's the secret. There's no trick to this stuff. If you're a real estate agent or you're a real estate lawyer, it's all got to be done a certain way. The contract has to have certain terms to it. Those terms have to be legal and enforceable. Everybody has to understand it. The title search has to be done so there are no encumbrances on the property. The money has to transfer, and the title work or the changing of the name on the deed has to be done. I just gave away the secret of real estate. The magic is in the marketing. So if you have a buyer or you can figure out how to get that thing sold, the paperwork and the title search stuff is, as my favorite comedy troupe, duck soup. Just like the Marx Brothers. It's easy. So there are 1,000 ways to do this. There are 5 good ways to do it. And my favorite way is to have a real estate lawyer and that person's title company work for you, make sure everything's right on your end, you don't get bit later, and that if you do have any kind of disclosures that are mandated by federal law or state law, like lead paint and dioxin, stuff like that, you know, the things that an as-is wouldn't cover, that it's all done properly. So that's what I am suggesting because you asked me.
And Delaney, you can't go online and get like a form that says buyer, seller, sign here, here's the property. You can't do it. Unfortunately, you're going to have to pay a small fee to somebody just to make sure, like Scott said, that there's nothing buried in here that would end up killing this sale down the road.
This is not the time to be going to Kinko's to get your real estate sales contract or, you know, some of these online services. This is stuff that for a very minimal extra charge, a significant discount off of what's usually done in the real estate world, the 7% and 6% commission stuff, or 2%, 3%, this stuff can get done. The magic of real estate is in the marketing. And if you don't need magic marketing, then real estate lawyers and their agents, title companies, usually the same ones, they get the job done, just like the people with their face on billboards. I hate to say it. For the people with their face on billboards.
Would it help to have an appraiser come through?
Why not? If you're going to set your price, you know, you want to know what the comps are. You're going to want to know what these things sold for. But the way they list stuff on Zillow, you can pretty much put your street and zip code in there and find out what things sold for. That's also not a secret. I mean, there's no magic to that either. The question becomes, how much research are you wanting and willing to do on this piece of real estate? The other question, and it's a legal question, is who's the trustee? If the house is in a trust, who has the legal authority to sell this property on behalf of the trust?
My brother.
Then is this something he wants to do?
Yes.
Then, as Judge Judy would say, he's the boss, applesauce.
Okay. Now, I had emailed you, and how many T's are in your name?
3. No, I'm kidding. 2.
No wonder. 2. Okay. Well, I didn't get a response, but I may have entered it wrong. Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com?
That's correct. And it also may have gone into a spam folder. That happens. We found it happened. Yeah,
Delaney, was that the first email you sent me?
Yes. That was probably a couple weeks ago.
I apologize for not checking my spam more frequently.
No. Every time we've had this happen, every time it has been in his spam folder for whatever reason. So
this allowed me to call and talk to both of you guys. So All right.
That's nice. Do you have?
Thank you so. No, that's y'all answered my questions. Thank you so much, and I will get off the phone.
All right, Delaine. Thank you.
Uh huh. Bye.
Great name, Delaine.
Okay. Sounds like a southern, aristocratic, just classy person.
And Delaine. Your name, please. My name is Delaine Fontana. Sounds like a movie star.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think her name is Fontana. In fact, I know it's not. Let's go. Oh, there's a line open. Delaine's through. He's finished. She's finished. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. Matt is up next. Matt, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Matt.
I'll quickly tell you my situation, and then I have a couple questions. I went to an out-of-state wedding at it was a pretty nice public golf course, and during the reception, I took one of their golf carts, and I drove it around some of their property. I parked it in the same spot that I took it from. When I came back, one of the police officers that they hire to work weddings and such, found out what I did, I broke the rules, and threw me out. So I called an Uber, I left, I didn't come back. About a week later, the golf course reached out to the bride and her parents and said that they found damage to a golf green and damage to a golf cart, and they told the bride and her parents that they're forfeiting their deposits. I didn't damage anything. I didn't touch anything. I'm being falsely accused of this. So two questions. One would be, can they legally do this? We're not talking a large amount of money. The money is not the issue. It's the fact that they're wrongly accusing me of this. And then the second question is, because I told them I'm going to make it my mission for the foreseeable future to reach out to everybody on social media, tell people they're a bunch of crooks, don't ever host a tournament there, don't ever have your wedding there. How far can I go? Or, can I call them 100 times a day and leave them 100 voicemails? I don't want to break the law, but I need them to make this right, and they're not doing it. They're refusing to give the deposit back.
Okay. Do you mind if I play pretend attorney for a second?
Not at all.
Matt, first of all, what started all this was you did something wrong. You stole a golf cart, essentially. You didn't have any right. Was that part of the wedding deal, that people could just take carts and drive them?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So you're in a bad spot simply because you did something wrong that, by the way, could have ended up even worse. You could have lost control, killed somebody, or who knows what. So you got that going against you. But here's the tough part. They can't prove you did it, and you can't prove you didn't. So let's say that makes 1-1, so that's a wash. The only thing left on the table is the strike against you that you had no business taking the cart. My guess is here, this is a really tough one, because I actually believe you. I believe just from your voice, you didn't do any damage. You didn't go on a green. You didn't hurt the cart. I don't know that that's true, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here. I think you got a tough battle ahead of you here, just because you had no business being in the golf cart. Here's Scott.
Frank, thank you. Matt, I want to walk through these things, and I want to be as careful as I can. When they trespassed you from the wedding affair, they had every right to do that, not because you had done any damage, but because you had broken the rule about commandeering the golf cart. A reasonable person would know that at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, you have a couple of shots of Jaeger and a couple of Bud Lights. It ain't cool to take the golf cart, but things happen, right? So they, instead of arresting you and charging you with stealing a golf cart or whatever ridiculous charge they could have done, they let you go by using the officer's discretion to have you leave. So by trespassing you or kicking you out of this wedding, you don't have anything that you can even say about that. It was true. You took the golf cart, and you drove it. And you broke the rules. So goodbye, Matt, for the night. You can't say anything about that. I'd also be very careful. In fact, I would not say anything about them being crooks. Don't say anything about their honesty or integrity, because that's defamatory. Their decision, and it was in their discretion, to go to the wedding party and say that there's a link between your commandeering of the cart and this damage, I don't think that they can prove that. I don't think they can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt in a criminal sense. They don't have to. And I don't think they can prove it by the word preponderance or 51 or more percent, you know, more than 50-50.
Okay, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Matt, when the police escorted you away, was the golf cart there in front of them?
It was 20 to 30 feet away.
So they could see the cart that you had just driven and you were no longer in.
Right.
So they would. What's this damage? Did they tell you how much this damage is supposed to be, or where the damage is supposed to be?
So I've seen pictures, and it looked like they Googled damaged golf green and took a screenshot of it, and it looks like somebody took a shovel and shoved it in there. But you can't even tell it's their course. All you can tell is that it's green, and it, you could say, yes, it looks like a golf green. So I don't even believe that it's their golf course.
How long after the night or day that you were escorted off, how much time passed before they accused you of this?
They reached out to the bride's family, I want to say, on Tuesday. So this happened, my escorting out was about 7:30 p.m. on a Saturday, and then on Tuesday at some point, they reached out and said the golf cart was damaged, the green was damaged, and despite the fact that they had over 200 golfers out there that day, they were pinning in on me.
Wow, that's 3 days. A lot of assume they were open on Sunday. People were playing the course on Sunday.
And it's 7:30, even in the Eastern time zone. Or which time zone? Don't tell us what town it was. Where were you, East or West?
Central time zone.
Central time zone. Still light out, so they could have inspected the golf cart for grass, turf, mud. But the key element here is there's a couple of things that the golf course, I think, has a problem with. I would be furious if I was related to this bride. How dare they come after her for the intentional rule breaking of one of the guests? She's not any more responsible for Matt's behavior as we are. What are they supposed to do? Tie Matt down during happy hour? Sounds like they, you know, overpoured him a little bit.
But hold on. The bride, the wedding party, the people may have signed something that said, in the event any member of your wedding party or guest damages, blah, 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 blah. Maybe there's something
in
there.
And that's true. But intentional acts of third parties are usually not the responsibility of even those that sign contracts. They can't, let's say Matt took a rifle and started shooting everybody and went crazy. Are they gonna? It's their responsibility to you know, check Matt for weapons?
Yeah.
No way. So they're not responsible for Matt. Matt, you're an adult, right? I mean, I tell you, you're over 21.
That's correct.
Yeah, in the state of Missouri and Illinois, it's the same way. There's no responsibility for watching adults that don't work for
you. I want to play lawyer for a second, because
sure.
I love this stuff.
Yeah, this is a really good law school question,
Matt,
because
I'm
got a lot of stuff in it.
Right now, Matt, I'm your attorney. All right, I'm your attorney, and I want to ask the golf course, this public course, were you open for business on Sunday? And I'm assuming they are. Most golf courses are open on Sunday. Assuming that it wasn't a washout, a lot of rain, and for reason nobody played for some reason, maybe they would open Monday. This didn't happen until Tuesday. I'd like to see the emails or complaints from golfers who weren't able to play that green because it was so badly damaged. Because if it was that kind of damage, there'd be some complaints from golfers, or they would have closed the green or moved. I need to see evidence of that. In other words, he's right. Stop calling them crooks and stop going on Facebook. This Facebook is a dangerous thing. You're going to do yourself more harm than good.
So I haven't done any of it yet. I don't even have a Facebook.
Well, don't do it.
I have not done anything on social media.
I would get an attorney to ask them for any sort of concrete evidence or proof that there was damage to that green, because golfers are not going to put up with that, or pictures of the damage to the cart. And I would subpoena the police officers or bring them in at least for deposition to say, with the time you sit this man packing, did you look over and see any real damage to that golf cart? And if so, where was the damage? And it better match whatever these pictures are. The rest is up. Scott can take it from here.
Did they ever tell the bride's family or where, what green this was on? Was it near the clubhouse? Is it near where they keep the,
ooh, good
the carts? And where's the video? You know, these are expensive places, and whether or not it's a golf cart or Lightning or a Gopher, like in, you know, Caddyshack, they should have some kind of surveillance of this.
I only drove on a select number of holes. They couldn't tell me what number it was.
You mean the cart path of a select
the
number
cart
of
path,
holes.
Correct.
If you drove on holes, then you drove on the green. But I think this is a very difficult case for the golf course.
I'm a golfer, and I told the guy, I talked to the director of golf, I talked to the head of banquet. I told him how, you know, I had more golf etiquette than probably 85% of the golfers that head out there on Sunday. Actually, there were still golfers out there. It was light. I was actually waiting for people to hit their shots before I would drive past them. I was on I was wrong. I took the cart. I regret it. But I drove at 2 miles an hour on the golf path and parked it in the same exact spot. If I would have damaged anything, I would have parked the cart somewhere else and maybe tried to sneak in the
front
door.
Were you in a group? Were you in a foursome or a twosome? Were you playing?
Were you by yourself on the cart?
I was not by myself. I was with two family members. We took the cart after dinner and drove around for about 15 minutes and then parked the cart in the same exact spot we took it from.
Was there a period of time where you commandeered this cart and went joyriding on the path or not on the fairways or the greens when you were alone?
No.
So why would they kick you out? See, I thought you kind of joyrided the thing up and down the golf path, and I got to say, I did that at one of the golf outings when I had a little too much booze in me. But the statute of limitations is run, so I'm telling that story.
Matt, who turned you in? Who reported you? Who called the police?
Someone spotted us taking it. So when we were coming back, the police officer was already standing there waiting for us to park, and they explained to me and my.
Are you the only one that drove the golf cart during your round?
No, there was two of us that drove.
Was the golf cart out of your sight at any point during your round? So could somebody else in your group have taken it and done that?
No, it was never out of my sight.
Oh, see, I thought he'd gotten some booze.
I got to ask you a question. Who, when you said somebody, was it somebody that worked for the golf course that called the police?
Well, they hire a police officer who's in a...
Matt, you keep doing something with your phone where you turn around and then you come back and you're crystal clear. I need the crystal clear version.
They hire a police officer.
No, that's not it. You're clear, but then you come back and you sound clear.
Is this better?
That's better.
They hire a police officer to work large functions and weddings, and he's in a suit and tie, but he works the whole function. So he was already on site.
And how do they pick you if there's no video and you're saying... And because this show is under oath, that you never drove off a path, never drove on a green, never drove on a fairway, and had at least two other people with you in your group, and didn't go joyriding in the thing like I did a couple years ago, and I would have.
Looks like somebody.
It's almost defamatory against Matt. They have, with everyone in this wedding, including the bride and her family, they're blaming Matt for ruining the golf outing. Are they not?
Well, this was a wedding.
It's a wedding. It's not a golf.
It was a wedding.
It's a wedding where you're not supposed to be driving golf carts.
But he just said, hey, Matt, did you say that there were people golfing, right, when you were driving around?
Golfers out there that day. And so that's like...
Oh, okay. I thought this was...
And they're pinning the damage on me because I did drive, and I admit it, I drove a cart on...
So you're like in a tuxedo, and you're driving a golf cart.
Okay, but let's be clear. There weren't golfers playing while this wedding was going on.
It was still light out. Like I said, I was waiting for golfers. They would hit their shots, and then I would pass.
You know. Well, this is easy. Oh, you know why this is easy? Man. Because they have a record of everybody who played golf that day. And if this were true, at least one golfer or two or four or eight would say, yeah, by the time we got to the blank green, it was all chewed up and cut up. And if they don't have that, they got nothing.
Or, you know, it's like, we saw a guy in a golf cart, and he was wearing a tuxedo.
But that's all they got.
Yeah, right. So who knows if it was Matt or anybody else. But trespassing the driver of this unauthorized golf cart, or the unauthorized driver of this cart, that was legitimate. So that alone means they're not crooks, and you would be defaming them. So don't say that, because that's defamation. That'll get you sued. What you might want to do is call. Have you spoken to the parents of the bride or the bride? And how'd you get invited to this thing? Did you just crash it, or
family wedding?
Family wedding. Okay. So have you spoken to these people?
Age of bride's mother, so she's even, but I would like to leave her out of this because I feel bad, and she doesn't need to deal with this anymore. So it's between me and the course, and I'd rather pay.
How much is it in question?
Twice as much to let these guys get away with it.
How much is it in question?
It's only $500.
$500.
But it's for the fact that they're wrong, you know, accusing me.
Do you own a house? This is a crazy question, but it's actually.
Do you? I know.
Do you have a homeowner's insurance?
Yes.
Some homeowner's insurance will cover things like, believe it or not, going out somewhere and damaging somebody's property. Tell them to make a homeowner's claim against you.
By the way,
will
their insurance.
Right.
This golf course has insurance.
Of course they will.
There's a lot that stinks about this.
And I think the thing that stinks the most of all of the stuff that sucks here, because there is some evidence that Matt should have been kicked out of this off this golf course, because he did drive the golf cart, and he wasn't playing golf, and he was joyriding the thing a little bit. But what stinks is, how in the world can this golf course justify legally going after the innocent bride's family for the intentional, not even provable, actions of one of the guests? It's nonsense.
It's bad PR.
Did the other two get kicked out also?
Well, yes. One did, and one kind of didn't get noticed by the police officers, so he went back inside.
Oh.
But me and others, yep, we did leave. We were absolutely totally.
Do you want me to help you negotiate this deal? I'd love to talk to these people at the golf course and just tell them that they're stupid.
They're being so petty, and it's...
Well, their damages are very limited, too, but they're opening themselves up, I think, for a problem by saying things about Matt that they can't prove.
Yeah, they better be able to prove.
And he's not a public figure here. I mean, he's a private guy, and if they're not careful, the standard for defamation for a private individual like Matt is negligence, meaning they didn't do their homework. That's different than what it is for people that are famous, when you have that New York Times versus Sullivan, actual malice, where they just don't care. So in this case, I don't think they've done enough work to pin this on anyone in this party, let alone Matt, and they should be very careful what they accuse him of, because if these people in his family think he did it because the golf course said, that's a substantial amount of damages.
Matt,
think he's a scum.
We're going to have to wrap this up because we've got other callers, but here's the deal. They need to prove that you did this, and if they do prove it, shame on you for not telling the truth. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
You better be telling the truth. If you are, and you know you are, yes, I want to save my good name too. Do you have Scott's email address?
Yeah, I'm going to shoot him an email.
All right, Matt. Good luck with this.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Off the air. Do you believe it? Do you believe him? Do you believe he took that card out and didn't go somewhere he shouldn't have gone?
I do. And he had two other people in the cart that would say...
Yeah, but they're going to side with him.
Well,
they're his relatives,
probably,
or friends, or something.
But still...
It's a tough call.
It is, because I am not calling Matt a liar, because I'm including in here, he might have been so drunk that he doesn't really remember exactly
what
he was.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
And that's what I'm thinking.
And that's what I'm thinking.
Have done it and is not
lying. Doesn't even know it.
It's, yeah. Like the 7-year-old that I brought here, I say things sometimes and they turn out not to be true. Like, are we going to go play, kickball tomorrow?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll do that. And then it rains and he'll go, you're a liar.
Yeah.
And I go, no, you don't understand.
All right, now we got to move. I got a quick bit. Margie, don't go anywhere. Stay where you are. And obviously there's a line open that just opened, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. By the way, the moral of this last thing is, when you're somewhere like at a wedding at a golf course, don't commandeer a golf cart, okay? It's not your cart. You're not signed up to play golf. You have no right to be on that cart, and bad things can happen, just like what happened to this guy. So don't do that. But weddings, people get crazy. They do crazy things. You know, they go off behind the bushes and have sex with the bridesmaid, or they get a golf cart. And again, if you've had a few drinks, you might have hit what you thought. Oh, I bumped the cart somewhere. I back it up, put it in reverse. There was damage done you didn't know was done.
I need to start going to more weddings.
Well, the other thing is that when you're in a situation like that, and you're having a good time, you had a couple of drinks, you got a golf cart, I don't know that you're just going to go on a nice ride along the path.
Right.
What fun is that? You know, woohoo!
Well, if there's golfers out there, and he said there were golfers out there.
But they might not have been on the green or the fairway he was driving on. We don't know anything. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they better, if he's determined to prove that he didn't do this.
Yeah.
And I respect that, and I would want to do that, too.
I totally respect
that. I'd want to do that, too. All right, I'm going to send all of you to the dentist who know that you need to go to the dentist, and I'm going to send some of you where I go to the dentist who have been to the, what?
I actually have an appointment at Ballas Dental on September 27th.
Way to go.
And he's British.
A British guy going to the dentist. Hey, that's a joke. So this British guy goes to the dentist. And that's it. That's the whole joke.
You guys suck.
There's no punchline. So, well, good.
They're only going to do half of his mouth because he's only half British.
No, okay. They'll take great care. Good. I want to know how that goes. I want your honest impression of this place, and I know what it's going to be. It's going to be like everybody else that I've heard from over the last 15, 16, 18 years, however long they've been on the show. And the same things I've heard from just people that I've met when I've gone there. And I've gone there for 45 years. 45 years and 5 months. And that is that, my goodness, I didn't even know a place like this existed. So, folks, listen to me. Whether you went 6 months ago or you haven't been for 16 years or 26 years, take care of your teeth. Take care of your gums. And you can't do it by yourself. Ballas Dental Care, the corner of Ballas and Clayton Roads, ballasdentalcare.com.
Let's get a check on traffic right now. Here's Joe Sonderman.
Two major problems. A vehicle fire was fully involved eastbound on 270 east of McDonald Boulevard. That traffic is jamming back towards the Rock Road. Crash eastbound 44 approaching the Merrimack River Bridge. 2 left lanes closed. Traffic at a standstill back east of 141. This report brought to you by ZQL Pure Z's. Worried about another sleepless night? Instead, try new ZQL Pure Z's melatonin gummies. ZQL Pure Z's is drug-free with an optimal dose of melatonin and a unique blend of botanicals to help you fall asleep naturally and wake with no grogginess. New ZQL Pure Z's. I'm Joe Sonderman. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Bud Byerly was a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals during the 1944 World Series, while his uncle Walter was building house trailers in Kirkwood, Missouri. Jim Byerly, Bud's little brother, tells stories of having ballplayers over for dinner, but he especially remembers the beautiful girls they brought with him. And he remembers later building trailers with Uncle Walter. The Byerly story is interesting, but so are hundreds of stories and memories enjoyed by generations of people who traveled America in RVs purchased from Byerly over the last 65 years. Imagine the stories you could create in an RV from Byerly in Eureka.
For the rest of your life,
Byerly
Trailers. For the rest of your life,
Byerly Trailers.
Discover your family, show them you care.
For the rest of your life, you gotta be there.
Check us out at ByerlyRV.com, Eureka, Missouri.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
Nana Mama's Pizza will soon be your go-to choice for pizza in St. Louis. That's because Nana Mama's uses only the freshest ingredients, and it's all local. From the freshest locally grown produce to the perfect dough made fresh in-store every day. Pair that with edge-to-edge toppings, and you really can't beat it. Nana Mama's Pizza is a family-owned restaurant that is family-friendly and opens 7 days a week. Come hang out inside or enjoy the day outside in the outdoor seating area located in Baldwin and Creve Coeur. Check them out online at nanamamas.com.
All right, Scott Sherman's here because it's Thursday. Margie has been holding forever. Margie, thank you for your patience. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Margie.
I love this show. It's so very interesting. I really do enjoy it.
Thank you.
Yeah, hearing all the situations that people find themselves in. So my question is about TOD, transfer on death, as it relates maybe to your house or your car or whatever. If you put your house, if you have, like, say my kids, I put them as the beneficiaries or whatever as a TOD on my house. If while I'm alive, if they should get into any kind of legal trouble or if someone should sue them, does that have any negative?
No. I'm going to jump on this one. No. The reason it says on death, they have nothing to do, no ownership until you're dead. Scott,
he's right. It's an expectancy interest, not a current interest. So yeah. Whether you title it joint tenant with right of survivorship, which is sort of like the game Survivor, whoever wins gets the deed, or beneficiary deed, which is the way a lot of people will have their real estate titled after the death, then it goes. No, that you can, okay. And you can change that. That can be changed on a beneficiary deed or on a joint tenant with right of survivorship. The one thing is that if it's a joint tenant, that means there's another person, so you can't unilaterally do it. So if you owned a piece of real estate and you put your son on there and you're like, oh boy, this kid's a real bum, and he's already a joint tenant with right of survivorship on there, he's in it. So you might want to do a beneficiary deed, and then nothing happens till you pass. But
okay.
So on joint tenancy, that's current. But a lot of these are expectancies. TODs, they're for card titles, payable on death for bank accounts. All that stuff is expectancies.
No, well, okay, because I just real quick, I'm trying to get all my affairs in order because. You know, you're supposed to, and I don't want my stuff to go into probate. You don't want to do that to your kids. And so I was ready to plunk down $1,250 to an attorney, and I met with a financial advisor just to kind of get a checkup. And he's like, you just, you know, other than a power of attorney for your, if you can't speak for yourself health-wise, really, just do a TOD and you're good. And I'm like, and then a friend of mine said, no, you can get into trouble.
Well, your friend's an idiot. Your friend doesn't know what he's talking about. No, he's wrong.
Okay.
He's wrong. It'd be different if you had a car and it's they're co-owners. You're a joint owner with your kid, and then your kid's a drunk driver. Yeah, you're on the title of that car or a piece of property. But TOD is just that, death. So you're dead.
Okay.
You're not responsible for anything they do.
Great.
Yeah, and Margie, one last thing is even if, let's say your son is a total deadbeat and you own the vehicle together as joint owners, they couldn't take the car unless you also, they had a judgment against you. So they need both of the titled owners. But on a vehicle, TOD is the way to go.
Yeah.
And on real estate, if you're really close with that person, like a husband-wife kind of a thing, then make it out joint tenant with right of survivorship, or if not, do a beneficiary deed, and that way, then it passes when you check out. But right. I would talk to a real estate lawyer. They're going to charge you $1,200, and you know, I also think that you should consult with a estate planning lawyer, and don't pay them unless you want their services. But listen to what they have to say too. I respect the growth people, you know, all those the people with the financial planners, but you got to figure out what legally to do to avoid probate if ever possible, and they don't know how
right.
to do that.
Margie, we got to jump. Okay. You have Scott's email
Thank
address
you.
In case you need to email
I do.
Him. Oh, you do? Let's hear it.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Okay, law office at... I know.
Scott, go ahead.
Law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Okay.
All right, Margie. Good luck. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. All right, we can get Sam in here. I know we can. Sam, welcome to 590. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. Hi, boys. How you doing? Hi,
good, Sam. How are you?
And I just wanted to spin you back real quick. Maybe I missed it, or it sounded like you guys might have missed it. It's at the beginning of Matt's story, if we go back to Matt, the cart offender.
Yeah,
the golf course had just refused to refund the deposit. So it sounded like to me that Scott should probably be representing the bride.
I agree with Sam. I think that the bride's family is being aggrieved here, but Matt may not have done anything to this golf course, and then he would have been not only aggrieved by being accused of it, but defamed by being made the bad guy of what could be damage somebody else.
Hey, how about this, Sam? And how about this, Scott? We didn't bring this up. Yeah. How about negligence on the part of the golf course for leaving an accessible cart with a key in it that anybody could have jumped on and been hurt on? How about that? Is that in not some way negligent?
You know, this happens with people that leave the keys in their kitchen table for their irresponsible kids that then take the car out without, quote, permission.
Right.
In this particular instance, it's more like what happens when somebody in law enforcement says after you get your car stolen, well, did you leave the keys in it? And you're like, well, that's not the point. They stole it. I think Matt, if he commandeered this, did what's called a trespass to chattels, meaning that he took something that didn't belong to him. He didn't destroy it, but they would have an action against him. So if they were, look, it's also this. What if Matt had gone and really hurt somebody really bad? Could the golf course have been sued? And that's yes, because it is foreseeable that when you leave these golf carts out with the keys in them, and you liquor people up on your property and you serve them booze, somebody might think, you know what? Might be a fun idea to go out there and screw around with this car. So I think that they could have been negligent or could have been liable if somebody who was innocent had been hurt by Matt.
To Sam's point, I think Matt's trying to do two things. I think he's trying to defend himself, and I think he's trying to work on behalf of the bride and her family to make sure they don't get penalized for something he didn't do.
I think
he doesn't remember.
He was embarrassed by the fact that the bride is out $500 and he's being accused as being the
exactly. He's not out any money, but he's being accused of something he says he did not do. He took the cart, but he didn't damage anything, and I think he's trying to save face for both.
But in order to get the bride her $500 back, you're going to have to represent her, not Matt.
No, that's unless Matt pays them, and then they assign that right to him, and then he could say, okay, they're out of the picture. Now I'm coming after you because you accused me of doing something I didn't do.
What I would do if I were Matt, I think I'd pay the $500. Now the bride's family is fine with him. You know, he manned up. He shouldn't have taken the cart. Look what happened. Pay the $500 and move on. But it's not going to follow him for the rest of his life. It's not like it's a police record.
Frank, do we know a lie detector person? Wouldn't this be if Matt agreed? Well, wait, we're sitting next to somebody that knows
private investigators.
I don't specialize in that, but I do partner with two guys who do specialize in it. One's in St. Charles and one's downtown.
Be interesting to put Matt on a polygraph and the golf course on a polygraph. Sam, we got to run. Thank you for the call.
All right, guys.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. We're out of time. I'm sorry we are because we have more callers. But, hey, there's always next Thursday. And we'll be here, and Scott will be here, and he'll still be sponsored by Peroni's Pizza, P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S, peronispizza.com. Check it out. Don't forget about the buffet. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet, and they got a lot of great stuff to eat. Peroni's, it's Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at both locations, Warson and St. Peter. Scott, thank you very much.
Frank, thank you.
Once again, we've helped a lot of people, and we've learned a lot about the things that other people have to deal with. We have the news coming up. We have another joke not yet told in the 11 months and 1 week, almost 1 week, that we've been here. So I wouldn't go anywhere if I were you. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Larry Connors. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Good evening, everyone, from the 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn. It is 5 o'clock, 85 degrees outside in downtown St. Louis. We're just minutes away from hour number 3 of the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion. News, weather, and sports headlines coming your way, and 2 traffic updates in this 5 o'clock hour as well. Here's what's happening. A gunman is among 4 people dead in a shooting at a Fifth Third Bank building in Cincinnati earlier this morning. The gunman opened fire on the loading dock of a 30-story building, then entered inside and shot 3 other customers to death before